Welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
Comedian Lily Tomlin once said, "Why is it when we talk to God, we're praying, but when God talks to us, we're schizophrenic?" The topic of God talking to us made the headlines when Joy Behar of The View, openly mocking the vice president, quipped, "It's one thing to talk to Jesus, it's another thing when Jesus talks to you. That's called mental illness, if I'm not correct, hearing voices." She later apologized to the vice president after a flurry of negative feedback. But while she retracted her comments, she originally echoed the sentiment of many in our society today who openly state there is no God. Hearing God? A daring idea. Some would say presumptuous and even dangerous. But what if we were made for it? What if the human system simply will not function properly without it? There are good reasons to think it will not. The fine texture, as well as the grand movements of life, show the need. Is it not, in fact, then, more presumptuous and dangerous to undertake the human existence without hearing God? God has created us for intimate friendship with Him, both now and forever. This is the Christian viewpoint. It's made clear throughout the Bible. As with all close personal relationships, surely we can count on God to speak to each of us when and as it is appropriate. Being close to God means communicating with Him, telling Him what is on our hearts in prayer, as well as hearing and understanding what He is saying to us. It is the second half of our conversation with God that is so important. It can also be so difficult. How do we hear His voice? How can we be sure that what we think we hear is not our own subconscious? What role does the Bible play, and how does it work in practice? The key, says Dallas Willard, is to focus not so much on individual actions and decisions, but on building our personal relationship with our Creator. So come be a part as we investigate His classic work, Hearing God, as Willard provides rich spiritual insight into how we can hear God's voice clearly and develop an intimate partnership with Him in the work of His kingdom. Willard shares, "Today there is a desperate need for large numbers of people throughout our various social groupings who are competent and confident in their own practice of life in Christ and in hearing His voice. Such people would have the effect of redefining Christian spirituality for our times. They would show us an individual and corporate human existence, freely and intelligently lived from a hand-in-hand conversational walk with God. That is the biblical ideal of human life." Therefore, Willard writes, "Ideal in hearing God upon the question of who God wants us to be, as well as, when appropriate, of what He wants us to do. What God wants us to do is very important, of course, and we must be careful to learn to know it and to do it. But it is never enough by itself to allow us to understand and enter the radiant life that is offered to us in the gospel, which leads to a life pleasing to Him, in which He can say, 'This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased.' To deal effectively with hearing God as a part of life within His will, it is necessary to consider many deeper issues about His intentions for us and about the nature of the world in which He has placed us. From time to time, difficult subjects must be discussed. But my hope," Willard asserts, "is to leave you with a clear sense of how to live confidently in a personal walk that is complemented by an ongoing conversational relationship with God." There is a paradox in the Christian life. First, believing that hearing God is really important to our walk with Him, but at the same time lacking a competent understanding of how it works for the individual in practice. On one hand, we have massive testimony to and widespread faith in God's personal guiding communication with us. This is not only recorded in Scripture and emblazoned upon the history of the church, Willard maintains. It also lies at the heart of our worship services and our individual relationship with God, and it actually serves as the basis of authority for our teachers and leaders. On the other hand, we also find a persuasive and often painful uncertainty about how hearing God's voice actually works and what its place is in the church and in the Christian's life. Even those who firmly believe that they have been addressed or directly spoken to by God may be at a loss to know what is happening or what to do about it. Even if we were to beg a word from God, we may have so little clarity on what it should look like and so little confidence in dealing with it that when it comes, it actually only adds to our confusion. Willard believes that this is one reason why such a word may be withheld from us by God, when it would otherwise be entirely appropriate and helpful. Our need for understanding is clearly very great. We are all too familiar with the painful confusion of individuals who make big efforts to determine God's will for them, people who are frequently very sincere and devout, yet we see them make dreadful errors following a whim or chance event that because of their desperation, they force to serve as a sign from God. We see them then sinking into despair, skepticism, even cynicism, often accompanied by a continuation of religious routine, but now utterly mechanical and dead. We are also all too familiar, if only through news accounts, with the tragic domination of those groups who lay claim to a special sign or work from God. Often these religious dictators are not effectively resisted, precisely because the other members of the group have no idea, tested and proven in experience, of how such a word from God really works. They are vulnerable to madness in the name of God. Despite these misuses and abuses, Willard explains, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we cannot abandon faith in our ability to hear from God. To abandon it is to abandon the reality of a personal relationship with God. And that is something we must not do. The paradox about hearing God's voice, then, must be resolved and removed by providing believers with a clear understanding and a competent, practical orientation towards God's ways of communicating with us and guiding us. But before we can begin working on this task, Willard notes, there are three general problem areas that must be briefly addressed. First, what we know about guidance and the divine human encounter from the Bible and the lives of those who've gone before us shows that God's communications come to us in many forms. We should expect nothing else, for this variety is appropriate to the complexity of human personality and cultural history. We need to look carefully at these many forms to see which ones are most suited to the kind of relationship God intends to have with His people. If we focus on forms of communication that God does not on the whole prefer in relation to His children, this will hinder our understanding of and cooperation with His voice, perhaps even totally frustrating His will for us. There is a detailed section in Hearing God which examines the various ways in which God communicates with us and explains the still small voice. The second problem area is that we may have wrong motives for seeking to hear God. We all in some measure share in the general human anxiety about the future. I fear, Willard writes, that many people seek to hear God solely as a device for securing their own safety, comfort, and righteousness. Extreme preoccupation with knowing God's will only indicates, contrary to what is often thought, that I am over-concerned with myself, not Christ-like interest in the well-being of others or in the glory of God. Third, our understanding of God's communication with us is blocked when we misunderstand the very nature of our Heavenly Father and His intent for us as His redeemed children. God is not a jolly good fellow, nor is He our buddy. But then, neither are we intended by Him to be robots wired into His instrument panel, puppets on a string, or slaves dancing at the end of the whiplash of His command. Such ideas must not serve as the basis of our view for hearing God. The ideal of hearing from God is ultimately determined by who God is, what kind of beings we are, and what a personal relationship between ourselves and God should look like. Our failure to hear God has its deepest roots in a failure to understand, accept, and grow into a mature, deepening relationship with Him. It is within such a relationship that our Lord surely intends us to hear and to recognize His voice speaking in our hearts as occasion demands. He has made ample provision for this in order to fulfill His mission as the Good Shepherd, to bring us life and life more abundantly. The abundance of life grows in following Him, and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. John 10:4. In close personal relationships, conformity to another's wishes is not desirable, be it ever so perfect, if it is mindless or purchased at the expense of freedom and the destruction of personality. This is a point we must grasp firmly as we come to think about God's relationship with His human creation and about what His love means for us. Willard counsels, in our attempts to understand how God speaks to us, we must above all hold to the fact that this is to be sought only as a part of a certain kind of life, a life of loving fellowship with the King and His other subjects. We must therefore make it our primary goal not just to hear the voice of God, but to become mature people in a loving relationship with Him. This is our first general guideline. The second guideline that is preliminary to any successful attempt on our part to hear God's voice concerns the relationship of our personal experience to the contents of the Bible and, by extension, to the lives of the saints and heroes of faith throughout the ages. If we are really to understand the Bible, we must enter into our study of it on the assumption that the experiences recorded there are basically the same type ours would have been if we had been there, and that those who lived through those experiences felt very much as we would have if we had been there in their place. Unless this idea comes home to us, the things that happen to the people in the Bible will remain unreal to us. We will not generally be able to believe the Bible or find its contents to be real, because it will have no experiential substance for us. Failure to read the Bible in this realistic manner, Willard counsels, accounts for two common problems in Christian groups that hold the Bible central to their faith. One problem is that the Bible simply becomes a book of doctrine, the abstract truth of God, which one can search endlessly without encountering God Himself or hearing His voice. A.W. Tozer points out, "It is altogether possible to be instructed in the rudiments of faith and still have no real understanding of the whole thing. And it is possible to go on to become an expert in Bible doctrine and have no spiritual illumination, with the result that a veil remains over the mind, preventing it from apprehending the truth in its spiritual essence." The other problem that arises when we do not understand the experience of biblical characters in terms of our own experience is we simply stop reading the Bible altogether. If we are to hear God's voice ourselves and on an individual basis, we must above all else observe how His word came to those people described in the Scriptures. How did they experience God's communication? What was it like for them to hear God? We must prayerfully but boldly use our God-given imaginations as we read the stories of people who encountered God. We must pray for the faith and for the experiences that would enable us to believe that such things could happen to us. Only then will we be able to recognize, accept, and dwell in them when they come to us. The idea that we must think of ourselves as capable of having the same kind of experience as did Elijah or Paul causes many to reply, "Who am I to put myself in the place of these great ones? Who am I even to suppose that God might guide or speak to me?" People who have such a reaction often presume that it honors the greatness of God. In fact, it contradicts what God has taught about himself in the Bible and in the person of Christ. God loves us and sent his Son to die for us, and chose to send his Spirit to inhabit us as a living temple, and he is more than able to guide us and speak to us whenever he deems appropriate. His speaking to us is not about who we are, but about who he is. It's about giving us greater opportunity to become like Christ and affording us greater responsibility for the care and guidance of others. In seeking and receiving God's word to us, therefore, we must at the same time seek and receive the grace of humility. God will gladly give it to us if, trusting and waiting on him to act, we refrain from pretending we are what we know we are not, from presuming a favorable position for ourselves in any respect, and from pushing to override the will of others in our pursuit. This brings us to the third guideline that we must constantly keep before us in our search for a word from God. When God speaks to us, it does not prove we are righteous or even right. This is an especially important point to make. Since the appeals "God told me" or "the Lord led me" are commonly used by the speaker to prove that I am right and that you should follow me, once and for all, let us say, no such claim is automatically justified. It must be tested by the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. Infallibility of the messenger and the message does not guarantee the infallibility of our reception. Humility is always in order. Let our prayer always be, "Lord, when we are wrong, make us willing to change, and when we are right, make us easy to live with." Have you ever known people who were so close to God, in such communion with him, that they were never lonely? What do you think of the prospects of such a relationship for yourself? Is it actually possible to make clear what this kind of life with God is like, a life in which one is never alone? It is indeed possible. Scripture is filled with men and women of God who experienced this kind of life. So let us consider three aspects of identifying God's presence. 1. When God is indeed close to us, but we are not aware of him or his effects, having only blind faith or abstract reasoning to turn us toward him. 2. When God is sensed, where there is a strong impression of his presence. And 3, when he acts in conjunction with our actions to change our surroundings or circumstances in ways beyond our own powers. Many who agree with these three aspects might wish to accept that they represent a complete account of the forms of God's presence with us. But is this all there is to it? How is the rich conceptual content and knowledge found in the Bible to be understood as something communicated to us in Revelation, if these three forms of presence are the totality of human interaction with God? Why, if God is personal, would he also not talk with us? So we must add to these three aspects that God's presence with us can also be found in a conversational relationship with him. He speaks to us individually as it is appropriate. Such communication may occur in one of two ways. First, God communicates through what we recognize as a voice or as words addressed to or even through us. The primary manner of communication from God to humankind is the Word of God or God speaking. The Bible itself is God speaking, preserved in written form. There is a second way in which the intentions and thoughts of God are communicated to those who are with him. It is one that involves a much more active role on the part of the recipient and generally comes with maturity. Willard expresses that this is a great part of the condition described by the Apostle Paul as having the mind of Christ. In many cases, our need to wonder about or to be told what God wants in a certain situation is nothing short of a clear indication of how little we are engaged with Him, His Word, and His work. So our union with God, in which our aloneness is banished and the full purpose of human existence is realized, consists chiefly in a conversational relationship with God, where we are consistently and deeply engaged as His children, friend, and collaborator in the affairs of the kingdom of heaven. Willard shares, God does indeed guide us in many ways, but His direct communication with us by His word and by shared activity is the most important part. This is because we are to become the temple of God, one that actively understands and cooperates with God's purposes, one that is inhabited through a willing, clear identification of ourselves with Jesus Christ. When our lives are devoted to the will of God, He has reason to speak to us. It may well be that you have never come to the place where you can truly say, I am living for one thing and one thing only, to be like Christ, to do His work and live among His people and serve them and Him in this world. My life is to bless others in the name of God. If you have not come to that place, then the question, how do I hear a word from God, is replaced by the question, what would I do if I heard a word from God? Perhaps we do not hear His voice because we do not expect to hear it. Then again, perhaps we do not expect to hear it because we know that we fully intend to run our own lives in our own way and have never seriously considered anything else. Perhaps we are not attuned to God's voice because we've never been taught how to hear it. If this is the case, now is the time to learn. In addition to what's been featured here today, Hearing God also includes chapters dealing with the various ways in which God communicates to us, how we can be sure we're hearing God, and finally, what to do on those occasions, which are sure to come, when God is not speaking, or at least when we are not hearing Him. If you find that you do not have a real confidence that God would or could speak to you and guide you, this book is designed to help. Yet I want to again remind our listeners today that just because a book is recommended by an author does not necessarily mean that all books by an author are recommended. There are some doctrinal issues and other teachings by Dallas Willard that I believe need closer scrutiny in order to keep in balance with Scripture. But his work, Hearing God, provides some real discussion, clarification, and practical applications on this topic. Too many Christians know too little about the personal relationship that we are meant to have with our Lord this side of heaven, and that our relationship should include the various forms of intimate conversation with God displayed throughout the Scriptures. So if you desire to develop a conversational relationship with God, one where you not only talk to the Lord, but are capable of hearing Him as well, then pick up a copy and prayerfully dig in. Hearing God by Dallas Willard can generally be found through your local Christian bookstore or online in paperback and digital format.
And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book is recommended doesn't mean that all teachings and writings by an author are recommended. Remember, you, the reader, must always read with discernment. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian resources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.